Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we want to give a big shout out to our new listening audience on the Rapture Ready Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everybody. So what is happening? So many things happening. How about this this guy Bernie Sanders? Now, here's a guy that is a socialist, borders on a communist, and he manages to attract over 20,000 people in Greenwich Village the other night. Wow. That just goes to show you how people's thinking has changed in this country, where we've gone from being a capitalistic democratic society into so many people wanting socialism, which they don't really have any idea what it's all about. And so they've embraced this man who has very, very radical ideas, and also very interesting that he goes to Rome. To Rome to meet up with the Pope. And I saw an interview with him this morning. He was talking a few minutes standing there in St. Peter's Square, talking about his meeting with the Pope, and saying some of the things he liked about the Pope is that the Pope speaks about income inequality. So meanwhile, Pope Francis lives in this 1,000-room palace there at the Vatican and drinks out of solid gold jeweled cups. And who's richer than the Catholic Church? There's nobody richer than the Catholic Church. Nobody. Nobody. And yet he's going to talk about income inequality? You can't make it up. You couldn't make it up. One of the other reasons he said that he liked the Pope was because he believes in climate change. Oh, okay. That's real important, right? And anyway, when they start trekking out there to Rome to kiss the Pope's ring, beware. Beware. So I just think it's very interesting that people have gone so far in their belief system that they would accept socialism in any way, shape, or form, because I think people need to work, and they need to work and get their own stuff, because the Bible says we're not supposed to covet our neighbor's goods. Isn't that one of the commandments, not to covet? So what is coveting? It's looking at your neighbor and saying, wow, they have better than I do. I want some of that. That's coveting. So it's socialism and communism are definitely not biblical ideals, because we're supposed to work, and the Bible says if we don't work, we don't eat, so we're supposed to get our own stuff and not worry about what somebody else has. I don't care how much money you have or anybody else has. That's none of my business. It's their business, as long as they got it honestly. And of course, they didn't pimp the gospel. So if they've earned their money honestly, it's none of my business what they have. This new form of socialism, I have to get some of what they have because I deserve it for some reason. It's just totally unscriptural, and it goes against what we're taught as Christians. So, but it'll be interesting, really, to see what happens in the years ahead, especially where it's kind of ironic, too, that they put up a candidate that nobody thought. They put up probably what they thought was the worst candidate with Hillary Clinton, because I guess they figured they weren't going to put anybody else up against her because that's the one they want in the Democratic Party. So they put this guy, Bernie Sanders, up against her, and they never thought he would get any votes. They just figured that he was so bad that he wouldn't get any votes, so she wouldn't even have any competition. And here he is winning all these primaries because it looks like people really don't want Hillary Clinton. So anyway, it's very, very interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the days and the years ahead, because when you have 90 million Americans out of work, 90 million, what's the population? Just over 300 million. And you have almost a third of the workforce out of work and probably taking welfare and living on social programs. So that's a lot of money being put out by the government to support people instead of bringing industry back into this country and manufacturing. And no, we ship everything out. It's hard to find things if you go to the store, right? It's hard to find things that are made in this country anymore. Sometimes they say made in America, but for the most part, they're not really made here. The products are manufactured in China. Sometimes they're assembled here, but that doesn't mean that they're made here. There's very few things that you can find that is 100% made in this country anymore. But I remember growing up, where I grew up, there was a lot of factories, and in the 1950s and in the 1960s, a lot of these factories started closing up even back then. Huge factories. So it's been going on for a very long time that factories were closing, and mills, all different coal mines and car manufacturing. If you go online and you look at it's interesting to look at videos about old Detroit and to see that the thriving car industry they once had there, these huge automobile plants, and they're deserted. Many of them are deserted, and they're just left there in ruins. And they employed thousands and thousands of people at one time. And you see Detroit, some of the areas there where the neighborhoods are completely run down, houses are just abandoned. No one wants to live in these neighborhoods, some of them. So it's really a sign of the times. And whoever thought that we would see this kind of thing happening here in this country? Deserted neighborhoods, very high crime, drug use. There's an epidemic of heroin use in this country mainly because of the OxyContin that many doctors prescribe to people. And even to elderly people, they give this drug, which is it's a form of heroin. And people get addicted to it almost immediately. And then they have to rob and they have to steal to get their drugs. And it's caused a terrible crime wave in this country. And they're not doing that much to curb it because they still allow doctors to prescribe it. Even for minor things like going to the dentist or whatever and you have pain, I heard of people getting it. And whereas this drug really should only be used if you're dying, not for pain management, because who wants to be addicted to heroin, really? So it's crazy days we live in, and we need Jesus now more than ever. We need to be able to spread the gospel to the lost and dying world, for sure. But I also wanted to remind you, yes, my book now is out in paperback, finally. It's on Lulu, LULU.com. And that's the paperback version of Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And also, the Kindle version is on Amazon. If you need the Kindle version. Also, if anybody wants a hardback copy, I'm going to put some hardback copies up on Lulu too, but if you do want a hardback copy, you can email me, susan@propheticnews.com, and let me know, and I'll get some of the hardback. I did have some people ask for hardback copies, so I'll get some of those up too on Lulu. And I think the book would help your friends, especially that are involved in the Word of Faith movement. And I did a lot of research for the book. It's about 300 pages, and it's large print. It's easy to read. So anyway, also our YouTube channel is available. Susan Puzio is the name of it, and our website, propheticnews.com. Also, if you have any information, any news tips, or testimonies, please email me at susan@propheticnews.com. And I'm looking for people also, some people that were involved in cults before they got saved. I would love to do some programs and interview people that have been involved in cults. So if you know anybody, also ask them to give me, send me an email. But I'm going to talk a little bit today about Perry Stone now. Perry Stone, and I did a program about this a few months ago, because this is an odd guy, really. Now, I've seen Perry Stone many times doing telethons for people. And he goes on these various networks. Now, he claims to be a very well-educated Bible teacher, and he just built a multi-million dollar facility in Tennessee, I think in Cleveland, Tennessee, and supposedly it was paid for in cash. I think it was over $10 million for this building project he had. But he seems like a very likable guy, and but I see him on TV with Morris and David Cirillo, for instance. And so what does Perry do? Perry sells miracles. He sells miracles for seed faith gifts. If you give a certain amount to the Cirillos, then, of course, their God, now not our God, but their God jumps off the throne and rains down money from heaven. Yeah. And so I have absolutely no respect for people like Perry Stone or any other Bible teacher that has to pimp the gospel, because we don't present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world as a Jesus that you have to give money to, because otherwise he won't do anything for you. That's not the Jesus we believe in. That's the Jesus, that's the other Jesus that the Bible talks about. Is there's another Jesus, there's another gospel. And that's the Jesus of these people, such as Perry Stone. So even though he seems like a nice folksy guy, and what do you have against Perry Stone? Well, I'm going to play some audio from Perry Stone, so then you can make up your mind yourself, because these are his own words. So I didn't make these things up. this Perry Stone himself making the statements that I'm going to play. But his father, now his father who is deceased, and he talks about his father a lot. And you can see the video up on YouTube where his father was named Fred Stone. But now, his father had a very unusual event that took place in his life where he claims that this dead friend of his came and talked to him. Now, we know, don't we? Now, we know this, right? That you're not supposed to talk to the dead. The Bible forbids it. It's called necromancy. And we're not supposed to talk to dead people. We're not supposed to invite dead people for conversations. It's not something we do. It's against the Old Testament, and it's against the New Testament, so we don't do such things. But anyway, Perry, he endorses this behavior of his father's talking to the dead. So I'm going to play this for you, and you'll hear it for yourself now. It's about 9 minutes long, but you'll hear Perry and his father, who's now deceased, Fred. You'll hear this testimony of him talking to his dead friend.
Joy to have you with me today on Manifest, but it's even a greater joy to have for a second program, my father, Fred Stone. Now, this is an 8-week series that we have been running in which we've been talking about the supernatural things of God, especially angels, angelic protection, and this type of subject matter. Dad, it's good to have you with me again today. I want you to know that. And folks, really, really love when you're on the program. In fact, they've said we'd rather hear your dad than you.
No, don't
say that. Hey, man. Hey, I would rather hear you than me a lot of times, too, to tell you the truth, because you've got just wisdom that has come with your... how many years have you been in ministry now?
This will be 59 years.
59 years. Okay, now you know you're going to gain wisdom. Now, what happened when you were called to preach? Now, I want to go to that.
That's when I was there at this little cabin, Barry, that I had me and my dad had built. Dad had helped me in West Virginia, up in a lease area for Island Creek Coal Company, and. I was up there praying and seeking the face of God. And Al Collins, while I was praying, I heard footsteps. It was in the fall, and there was leaves about 4, 5, 6 inches high. And I heard 2 or 3 steps behind the cabin. I'm sitting just like I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned and looked around and bent my head like this. And before I could see anybody, a hand reached through the right hand of a man, reached through the side of the cabin, and touched me on the head. And I thought it was an angel of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the spirit man of Al Collins had touched me, you know what I mean, and spoke to me about what God wanted me to know, and that the Lord wanted me to know this and that and the other. And, of course, I was so overcome by the Spirit that it probably took me an hour after this experience for it to just kind of wear off. You know, Perry, supernatural experiences with God usually stay with people forever.
Mm-hmm.
They stay with you all your life. Now, they're not as fresh and they're not as great upon your spirit man as they were for the first 2 or 3 years or something, but they'll be there forever.
I remember when you told, I mean, I've heard you tell that for years about how that you actually, when that hand touched you, you collapsed and thought you had a heart attack and came out of your body.
Yeah.
Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 12, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And so there are experiences where it's either a vision or it actually is happening, and you went out like being sucked out into the universe somewhere where you ended up, where it was a blue, beautiful sapphire blue, And you described what happened there. You said that you saw a ball of light that looked like the size of a silver dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And Al stepped out of that and pointed his finger at you, right?
It was moving, Perry. It was so far in the universe I couldn't estimate how far it was. And it was moving with the speed of a lightning bolt. It was coming toward me so fast. But when it got to from the size of my fist to the size of a person, but it was a ball of fire.
Mm.
A ball of light would be better, light and fire.
Mm-hmm.
And when it got so far from me, it just stopped moving, and the light just vanished, and there stood Al Collins.
And this is the friend that had passed away. You're out in the universe somewhere,
yeah,
though. I mean, way out on the edge of eternity.
And when he spoke his the communication, when he put his right hand out toward me, God let him speak to me.
And he said what?
Let him speak. That's when he said, and he didn't waste any time, Barry.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I wanted to ask him questions, what it was like. Al, what was it like to die?
Mm-hmm.
What was this and that? That's what was on my mind.
Right, right.
Because we were such good friends.
Right.
But I wasn't permitted to do that. He looked at me and he put his hand out and he said, Fred,
praise God.
God has sent me to tell you. Excuse me, Barry.
It's all right.
God has sent me to tell you. That you're called to preach.
Jesus.
That he's called you to preach.
Jesus.
And you must preach. You must go and you must preach and you must obey me.
Mm.
And when he said that, the power of God came on me, Perry, and I couldn't answer him. I couldn't do nothing but just tremble.
Mm.
I just shook under the power of God.
And you came back to yourself in that cabin.
And, you know, he left one time. He started to leave.
Uh-huh.
And then something stopped him and told him he wasn't finished. And he turned around and said it the second time. Said the same thing.
Wow.
And that let me know it was Al Collins. There's no spirit.
Yeah.
It was the soul of Al Collins.
Now, you had an experience, too, where... You saw into heaven, and you saw books in heaven, and they actually had photographs in them, or what looked like photographs of the ministry of Jesus.
Yeah, they were.
Do you remember? Can you remember that?
The title of one.
So tell what happened, though. That's what's interesting.
Perry, it was. I walked into this. I was praying and just carried out in the spirit, and I walked.
Now explain that for people that don't understand. When you say carried out, what happens?
Well, the Holy Ghost has come on me so great. The Spirit of God moves on you so great that He can do what He wants to do. He can show you
anything
He wants to show you. So in the spirit, man, I was on my knees in prayer. But in the spirit, my inner man walked into this great library.
Literally, you saw
this,
it.
Yeah, into this great library. And Perry had books. The width of them was about like this. They were about this high.
Was it about three feet?
Yeah, they were. And one of them was called The Mighty Acts and Words of Jesus. And then there was another book there about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
But I felt led to look at The Mighty Acts and Words of Jesus. So I pulled it out, laid it in this table.
Uh-huh.
It was a table with just the most beautiful glistening white cover, and I laid it down, and when I opened the book, on the page it said, I opened the title page and it said The Mighty Acts and Words of Jesus, and I thought, well, I've never seen that book. So I started opening it up, and as I did, there was great pages of his preaching and
Yeah, so you could read it and see it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what do you think it was, Dad? Do you think it was the Holy Spirit while Jesus was on earth actually captured somehow for people to see one day?
Well, you know, look
everything
John,
that he did.
John said, so there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself.
Wow, that's
John
right.
John 21. So
what did you see? Like what? I mean, you saw.
Oh, it was like the Sermon on the Mount. Instead of just Matthew 5, 6, 7, It was other preaching that he did that was with that.
In other words, when the Bible says every word man gives an account of on that day, he literally has words, apparently, in books or something.
So the Holy Ghost put in the Bible what he wanted us to actually see and read of the words of Jesus. But, Perry, there could be millions of words of Christ and sermons of his, just like with yourself. Now, there's been times when you'd start preaching in your meetings that I would marvel, because I knew what you were saying was not on notes. You weren't quoting from notes. And I believe, Perry, that that's where that a lot of preachers get so inspired today, that God just pulled some of the preaching of Jesus that's not in the books of the New Testament and just puts it in their mouth. And they preach it.
Now, I'm always a little leery of people when they say, they always have these extra biblical happenings. They have these extra biblical happenings, and it usually revolves around them being called to preach. So, well, that's nothing special, okay? Because doesn't the New Testament say in the Gospels, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel"? So I thought we were all called to preach the gospel. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. So I didn't see a special name in there, Fred Stone. Fred Stone, and especially now, Fred Stone says that he's called to preach. He was called to preach the gospel by his dead friend. That his dead friend. He's talking to his dead friend. His dead friend comes back from heaven, and he's in a cabin, and the dead friend reaches his hand through the wall of the cabin. Really? And notice Perry's agreeing with him, the so-called great man of God, the man that's supposed to know the Bible. He's agreeing with his father. Yeah, Dad. And his dead friend tells him he's called into the ministry. Well, he didn't need his dead friend to tell him that. And that doesn't make him anything special, since we're all called into the ministry to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So I'm always very leery of people that have these extra biblical happenings in their life, and they're called, "Oh, I'm special because I'm called to preach. I've been called to preach since I was a little boy or a little girl." And notice also that he sees a book. He sees a book, and in the book are the extra biblical words of Jesus. Perry's father's telling him, "Perry, I've seen you preach sometimes where I knew that what you were saying was not really even in the Bible, but it might be coming from that book that I saw of the extra biblical words of Jesus." Now, this is really nonsense, isn't it? It sounds to me more like witchcraft than the Holy Ghost, and then they want to blame the Holy Ghost? Wow. Very, very frightening. But Deuteronomy 18:10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch." 2 Kings 17:17, "And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." Jeremiah 14:14, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart." And that's about it, really, because it is a false vision. It's divination, and it is the deceit of their own heart that, look, I'm special. I have extra biblical revelation that you don't have, and that's nothing more than a work of the flesh and witchcraft. Very, very shocking. But someone mentioned to me yesterday about this video that's on YouTube of Perry Stone, and I know a lot of people are using this Periscope, which to me it's very weird, because when people use Periscope, it makes their face distorted and they look really weird. And so he's using Periscope and he's in his car and he's talking, and I'm going to play the audio for you, but it's up on YouTube of Perry Stone, and he's supposedly now he's rebuking Brian Carn, and we did a program a few weeks ago about this so-called prophet, but we know he's not. He's a false prophet and heavily involved in divination. So the number one way I recognize people that are involved in witchcraft and that are false prophets is by the way they raise money. If they raise money by telling you that if you give money, you're going to get money, and you're going to get even more money if you send it to a particular ministry, and not only will you get more money, but you'll get healings, you'll get household salvation, you'll get debt cancellation, all your dreams come true. If they tell you that, they're false. They're false. They're not really Christians, because Christians don't lie. We don't cheat. We don't steal. We don't do those kind of things. So these are false brethren that the Bible talks about. So Perry Stone, he associates with many of these people, but he decides he's gonna call out Brian Carn. But the funny thing is that Perry won't mention his name. So he says that he doesn't want to get God upset by mentioning people's names. Well, how stupid can you get? Please give me a break, okay? If somebody's coming to rob your house and somebody knows that somebody's coming to rob your house, what are they going to do, call you up and say, I can't tell you who it is? It's just ridiculous. When Paul, it says that he had to rebuke Peter to his face. Now, he put Peter's name in there, didn't he? Didn't he? He didn't say, somebody's coming over here, and but I can't mention the name of the person. It's just stupid. It's people that have no biblical knowledge, really. But here, Ezekiel 3:19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. So the Bible says we're supposed to warn the wicked. So are the wicked supposed to be nameless? I don't know what Bible these people read, or where they even get this stupidity from, because it is stupidity that you would say that you can't name a name of somebody you're going to warn people about. You mean if a child molester comes into the church and he claims to be a brother, you can't tell anybody what his name is? Just stupid. And so anyway, Perry Stone goes on. He's going to talk about the brother that took the prophecy from a witch who shall remain nameless. But also, the other odd thing is that he says that he probably really loves the Lord, but he's straying. Yeah, sure, he's straying. Yeah. Come on now. You mean every people that love the Lord and are born again, spirit-filled Christians, they take prophecies from psychic witches and they bring the prophecy to a church and they read the prophecies, and they tell you that the prophecy came from God, and you're supposed to believe that these are brothers and sisters in the Lord? No, I don't think so. But here's 2 Timothy 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Now, is there a name mentioned there? I think there's a name mentioned there. So I don't get where they even come up with this, that we can't mention any names. I've had people say that to me. Why do you mention names? Because I'm going to tell you who the people are. And they're going to tell you who they are by the words that come right out of their own mouth, because most of the time I play their audio so you can hear it for yourself, what they really believe and how they really feel about things. But anyway, Doan, he's going to rebuke the nameless the nameless Brian Karn, who now has been he's been blacklisted. Let's say that he's been blacklisted from many, many ministries where he was the new kid on the block, because he sure knew how to take up offerings, I'll tell you. And there's a brother on YouTube that did a very interesting video, and I never figured this one out, and he figured it out, how that Brian Karn has this knack where he can tell you your name, and he can tell you your prayer requests, what you need from God. He can even tell you your address. I even heard Benny Hinn say this one time, oh, Brian Karn, he can tell you your address. Well, I don't need Brian Karn to tell me my address in the first place. I know my address, so I don't need him to tell me my address. But people are so gullible that they think, wow, he told me my address. But this brother points out that Brian Karn, he would have people fill out prayer cards, and they pass these things out usually during the offering. People write their name on there, and they write their prayer request on there. And then he would tell people to lift it up in the air. And you can see that when he tells people to lift the card up in the air with their name and their prayer request, Brian Karn goes in the audience and he walks around. And sometimes he prays in tongues he starts prophesying. But in the meantime, he's glancing over at these prayer requests while he's doing it. And then after he does that, then he'll go up to people and he'll tell them their name and he'll tell them what they're believing God for. And he's acting like he just got this information from God when he really went around and he was reading these cards. Yeah, he's good. He's been very well schooled by other witches in his coven, probably. But anyway, here's Perry Stone. And Perry, in his own words, now we're going to hear, he's concerned about this young man, Brian Karn, who he doesn't name.
And we just really walked in the glory of the Lord for 3 days. You know, the body can only take so much. So if I'm a little bit raspy right now, bear with me. I also want to take a moment. Right above the hill is the grave of my father, Fred Stone. And as I get ready to share with you what I'm about to tell you, it really stirs my heart because of the teaching of my father. My father operated at one time in his life. I saw all 9 gifts of the Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12:7-10 operate in him. I saw him pray for people with cancer and God would heal them. One thing my dad put in me, and he put it in me very, very strong from the time I was a child, and watching him, observing him, was, son, don't ever say that God told you something if God didn't tell you. If you're not certain it's from the Lord, say, I feel something, but I'm not sure if it's from God. It might be just me. He said, always try the spirits if you don't know if it's from God, because the enemy will try to sidetrack a person in the realm of even the gifts. There were 2 men. There was a man years ago up in Knoxville that you know, he would tell people the last four digits of their social security number, and then he would give information about it, and people were amazed. What he was doing was he had a man in the parking lot that was said security, and the man was riding around getting people's license plates numbers when they pulled in, and writing in a computer what they looked like, woman in red dress, red hair, certain car. And then he would go on, because there's a program which car dealers use if they want to repo a car, and it gives the person's last four digits of the social security number, tells where they live. So this man was writing this down and sitting in the back room, and he had a small hearing aid in his ear, and then the man would feed him the information that he got off of the computer, and it looked like it was a word of knowledge. The mistake he made was he called a red-headed woman out and said, your name is so-and-so. She said, no. He said, your social security last four digits are this. She said, no. And what had happened is she had borrowed her boss's car to go to the meeting, and so they read the information from her boss's car instead of hers, and so that exposed him, and he had to shut the meeting down. My father one time had a young minister to come and preach in Salem, Virginia, and as this young man was preaching, something very, very, very strange happened. He, in the middle of, right when he got up, he said, if you're hurting in your body, put your hand over where you're hurting. I'm going to pray right now. So he's walking around just kind of talking and praying. And people had their hand on their chest, their hand on the back of their neck, you know, their hand up here. And so he sat down and started preaching. And all of a sudden, about middleways in the message, he said, brother, you right there, the Lord's showing me that you have problems in your stomach. Well, the guy did. And then over here and over here. Well, the people didn't catch it, but my dad did, because you couldn't pull the wool over a Holy Ghost-filled man's eye. So he got up after the service. He says, now, folks, I want to tell you something about this, that this brother won't be back preaching, and here's why. And he exposed it right there. And, of course, the people didn't catch it. So what had happened was he saw where people was putting their hands on the part of their body where they were hurting, and then he was calling it out. That is not the word of wisdom. That's not the word of knowledge. That is not the gifts of the Spirit. That is the flesh. It's very dangerous to operate and call it a spiritual gift when it's not. Another situation that happened more recently was a minister was having people fill out their name and address on cards to take up an offering. And then as they were told to hold up their card, put their card up to the Lord, he'd walk in the back and he'd start praying with people. And he'd say, everybody keep your eyes closed now, keep your eyes closed. And what he was doing, he was praying, but while he was praying, he's looking at people's cards. This was captured on video. And then later on, he would, about, you know, a few minutes later, he'd start saying, hey, sister Mae Smith, is your name Mae Smith? Everybody's just mesmerized by that. And, you know, the thing about this, and I want to say this, is it is not someone's ability to be able to call out your name. It's not someone's ability to be able to, you know, tell you who your family members are. Psychics do that kind of stuff. What is important is the transformation that happens in a person's life when the real gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. And the thing I share this with you is there's a young man, and I did not know him personally. I don't know him personally, but several ministers that I know have quit using him until he gets help, until he gets counseling, until they find out what the situation is. But there was a psychic that actually gave 15 predictions for 2015, and this young man, months later, had a piece of paper in a church and was saying the Lord showed him this, and read word for word everything that the psychic said. Now, I'm not going to call his name. I'm not a name caller. Some preachers try to do that. I don't do that because I fear the Lord, because I do believe he's a young man who truly loves God, but I believe he's been led away in some kind of error. So hopefully the people around him will tell him that he is in error, and maybe even at times have him sit down until he understands the seriousness of this. You know, when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit and held back the money that they promised God, they both dropped dead. And so the thing I say is you do not, and never should you, operate and act like you're operating in a gift of the Spirit when you know it's not a gift of the Spirit. And another thing is this, when a man says, the Lord told me that this is going to happen this year, and over 80 to 90% of the things don't happen, we have to hold people accountable and responsible. Now, the thing that is often used is, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. That verse is not talking about that. We oftentimes, because we do fear the Lord, and we don't want to say anything against real men and women of God, we want to be careful that we don't judge them incorrectly. But when things are publicly exposed, and it's very obvious, because the young man first said, well, the psychic got the information from me, but they went back on the computer and found out it was months before. And so hopefully this person will come to repentance and will turn, you know, humble themselves and go back to God. Because, see, preaching can be learned. Preaching, you can go to college and learn how to preach. Preaching is also a gift. It's a gift that comes from the Lord. And so, you know, the thing about a gift, and this is very frightening, is sometimes people can operate a gift whether they're anointed or not, because it's like...
Oh, really? They can operate a gift whether they're... I thought we were all anointed. Anyway, who's the anointed one? Who is the real anointed one? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Nobody's got some special anointing. Oh, it makes you so special. Now, Perry, he seems to be a master at double speak. He says one thing and he means another. And I have a question, Perry Stone, in case you're listening to this interview, or any friends or partners of Perry Stone are listening. I have a question for you there, Perry. How could anybody, and you say this that Brian Karn, who you refuse to name, oh, because you don't want to get God mad at you or whatever. Ooh. Anyway, so you say that he's a brother and he really loves the Lord. No, I don't think so. No. Nobody that's a brother. If I had a brother like that, now I don't want that kind of brother. No. If I had a brother that was going around to churches, especially churches, and mainly so-called Bible-believing churches, if I had a brother like that and that he was going around to churches and he was standing up there and he was having people close their eyes and hold their card up in the air, and then he was going and he was reading their cards, and then he was giving them words that supposedly came from God, and then if I had a brother that told people to give $1,000 and then they were going to get debt cancellation, they were going to get their mortgages paid, they were going to get healings from cancer, and they were going to get all kinds of stuff. No, I don't want that kind of brother. No, that's not my brother. No, that's not a Christian. That's not a brother. That's a false prophet. And I want to know, Perry, you call yourself a man of God. You call yourself a Bible teacher, even, I think, doctor you call yourself. Where did you get your degree? I want to know, because you probably need to give it back. You probably need to give it back there, Perry, because you also said that, oh, we shouldn't say that we hear things from, we better be careful about what we say we heard from the Lord. When I played the clip a few minutes ago of you and your father talking together about a dead man, your father's dead friend coming down from heaven to visit him and to tell him he was called to preach, and the hand came out of the wall. Come on, Perry, Dr. Stone, where did you get that degree? I want to know, because I think you need to give it back. I really do. I think you need to give it back. So we are going to label Perry Stone a false prophet. We're going to label him a false teacher. And we're calling on Perry Stone to repent, Perry. Jeremiah 27:9, therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. Jeremiah 29:8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which he caused to have dreamed. Micah 3:7, then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded, yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. Zechariah 10:2, for the idols have spoken vanity and the diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Yes, where are the shepherds? Where are the shepherds? Because for the most part, the church has been overcome by wolves in sheep's clothing, pretending to be nice, folksy men of God, and they're really wolves in sheep's clothing. I don't mind naming Brian Karn, and I don't mind naming Perry Stone false. I don't mind doing it. And I hope they both really do repent, because Brian Karn's not saved. Brian Karn is not saved. I doubt seriously Perry Stone is really a Christian either, because of the way he acts toward his supposed brothers and sisters in Christ. Like I said, if I had a brother that was out hustling money, conning people, scamming people, and using the name of Jesus, No, I wouldn't be calling him a brother. I'd want to separate myself and get far away from that kind of brother. Or that kind of a sister. So these are not our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to call them out. And we need to tell people who they are. And we need to tell people what they really believe and what they really say. Because people see these people all the time on television. And Perry Stone, he's all over the place. And he gets up, and he's a folksy guy from the South. He's got a Southern accent, and he smiles a lot. And you think, oh, wow, this is a real nice brother in Christ. And he has a lot of information, you know, on the end times. And so, but he's a scam artist. He's a scam artist. So I'm just going to play a couple of other clips here that I have of Perry Stone so you can hear for yourself some of his comments here. So these are his own words, and you will hear, here's Perry talking about communion.
Hello, I'm Perry Stone, international evangelist, author, and teacher, and host of the weekly program Manifest, which is aired around the world. I want to take a moment and tell you that I'm very, very excited to be sharing with you today the information on our brand new book, The Meal That Heals. Now, this book is very unique for several reasons. I think the first reason that it's unique is because it deals with a subject that very few people are familiar with. And that is the fact that in the first century church, the Bible tells us that they broke bread from house to house. When you research the term breaking bread, it actually alluded to the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. In other words, the first century church actually traveled from house to house, conducting the Lord's Supper on a daily basis, not a weekly or monthly basis, but literally every day. We also talk about in this book how that through receiving daily communion, it is possible for a person to receive the threefold atoning work that Jesus did on the cross. It includes physical healing for the body, the healing, of course, of the human spirit, removing of sin and the iniquity that's in a person's life, but also the healing of the emotions and the soul and the mind. So the atoning work of Jesus was body, soul, and spirit. And we talk about how that by receiving the Lord's Supper, you can actually receive healing in every area of your life. And one of the things I think that also makes the book, The Meal That Heals, very unique is not just the fact that we go do an in-depth teaching on the power of the blood of Jesus, and we do an in-depth teaching on the cup and the bread, and even go all the way back to Passover in Exodus 12 and show you the original Lord's Supper, the original communion that was conducted there as the children of Israel were preparing to come out of Egypt. But there's several other subjects that we talk about in this book that we've not talked about in any other previous book that we've written. Let me share those with you very quickly. In the book, The Meal That Heals, we're going to discuss in detail why should you die before your time? In other words, why is it that some people die prematurely? How do you prevent that from taking place? Number two, what is the greatest hindrance to receiving your healing? After 31 years of ministry and just enormous research, I believe that we can share with people what the number one hindrance to receiving your healing is and how to deal with it. We also are going to talk about what do you do when Satan returns to your house. In other words, there are some people that are healed of a sickness, and that sickness reappears in their body 4, 5, or 6 years later, not necessarily in the same place, but a different part of the body. And we're going to talk about the example of how David killed Goliath and how Goliath had a brother by the name of Lami that David had to face almost 40 years after he killed Goliath. He looked like Goliath, but he wasn't Goliath. The issue is that what God heals you, you are healed of. And you may have to face another giant again, but I'll tell you how to defeat, in the book, that satanic spirit that tries to come against you. We talk about how to build a family altar and how to receive daily communion. Oh, there's so much more that I don't have time to tell you. But I hope you will take the time to see, read, and hear the book, The Meal That Heals, and we are happy to introduce it to the body of Christ, and I believe to the entire world at this time.
I don't know. Where did this guy come from? I don't know where this guy comes from, but notice that he says that he calls the communion the Eucharist. Okay, that's a buzzword. That's a Catholic word, Eucharist. We don't use that word. No, we don't use that word. We don't believe that when people take communion that they are eating the body and blood of Jesus. We don't believe that. No, when we take communion, we take that bread and we remember and the wine or the grape juice or whatever. We remember the Lord's death. We remember, and that's what it is. It's a remembrance. It's not, it doesn't save you or heal you or anything like that. No, Jesus is the healer. Why do I need to eat a piece of bread and drink some grape juice? That's not going to heal me. No, Jesus is the healer. This guy's ridiculous. And he's just trying to sell his communion kits. He was selling these little kits, and he was telling people that they needed to take communion every day, and somehow that it was some kind of a religious ceremony that was going to bring you closer to God. But that's not what it is at all. It's a remembrance of the Lord's death, and we remember what he did for us on the cross. We rejoice in that, and that's what it is. It doesn't have any supernatural power in itself. So, Perry, again, I think you need to return that doctorate you got from, I don't know who you got it from, but you need to give it back there, Perry. Anyway, here's another clip. Here's some more of Perry Stone.
Dollar babies, leaving an unsustainable debt for future generations to repay. Government debts, high taxes, economic recession, and instability in the housing and job markets are causing Christians great concern and creating anxiety about their own financial security. However, your fears will be overtaken by faith and confidence as you read Perry Stone's landmark book, Your Financial Security in the Last Days. Perry gives you practical and prophetic insights concerning economic cycles of prophetic empires, the future significance of gold and silver, and how God has provided you total provision through the atonement. Learn how God can use your enemies and transfer their wealth into your hands. Perry explains a dynamic Noah and Lot code, revealing how prosperity and business success will be a sign of the sudden and unexpected return of Christ. This book will increase your faith and reveal simple, practical steps to break the spirit of poverty and lack in your life. A believer's future is never bleak, but bright, and spiritual and practical knowledge is the fire that will melt your fear of financial provision in the last days.
Perry's got all the answers for you. He in his breakthrough book, he's got all the answers. Now, this one really amazes me because he tells you that actually God is going to take money from your unsaved neighbor. He's going to take money from the wicked person that lives next door. He's going to take their money and he's going to put it in your bank account. Yeah, that's what he says. God's going to transfer wealth from wicked people and he's going to put it in your bank account. Mm-hmm. And He's going to teach you how to have financial security. I can teach you how to fight now. I can teach you right now how to have financial security. I can teach you that right now. You need to get a job. You need to keep a job. Work 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever it takes. Save your money. Don't buy more than you can afford. Don't charge up your credit cards. Don't go into massive debts to buy things. Don't say God gave me a car and you're making car payments. No, because when God gives you a car, you don't have car payments. When he gives you a house, you don't have house payments. When he gives you something, you don't have debts, because God doesn't give you debts. No. So, because the Bible says when you have debts, you're the servant to the lender. You know that, right? If you don't pay the lender, they call you up, they harass you, they send you, they call your relatives and embarrass you and all that. So you're the servant to the lender. But Perry, he's going to teach you how to get financial security by telling you that God is going to rob your neighbor, take money out of his bank account, and miraculously is going to put it in your bank account. I don't think so. First of all, like we said before, the Ten Commandments, remember, Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not covet. So we don't covet our neighbor's goods. We don't covet our neighbor's wife or their husband. We don't covet their car or their clothes. Nothing. We don't covet anything anybody else has. We get our own stuff, and we get it honestly by working. That's how you get. Accumulate wealth is to make good investments, to work, to consistently work, don't live above your means. And most of us, you know, people around my age and our families, when they grew up during the Depression, our parents, and they knew what it was not to have anything. They had nothing. And they lived in two or three rooms or so with 12 people. And their parents worked in factories because they came over on boats from Europe, and they worked in factories. That's all they knew. That's all they could do. And they went to work every day. They didn't have daycare. No, they didn't have daycare. No, they didn't have welfare. No, one parent worked one shift, like the day shift. The other parent worked the night shift. Somebody was home with the kids. Sometimes the brothers and sisters were a little older and took care of the kids. And they worked every day. And then when the kids grew up, they went out and they worked every day. Most of them didn't finish high school. And they worked every day. And they bought houses. They bought cars because they worked every day. And so that's how they got it. They didn't get it by picking it from the money tree. They didn't get it by tithing. They didn't get it by seed sowing. They didn't get it by wealth transfer. No. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So, Perry, I could have saved you a whole book. I could have saved you all that time writing that book you wrote on how to get financial security, because probably you probably didn't tell people that, did you? You probably told people that the key to getting wealth is to give money away, and then you get more money. You probably told people that. That's called selfishness. That's not called biblical love, because Jesus said we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Didn't he say that? He said that. So if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we don't go, neighbor, here's $10, neighbor, so I sure want to give you this 10 so that I get 100 back. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself. No, that's not loving your neighbor as yourself. So let's hear Perry now. Let's hear some more from a few infamous quotes from the Dr. Stone, who needs to give his degree back.
Don't miss this. Your financial giving is considered an offering similar to the blood sacrifice placed on the altar in the Old Testament. Can I prove it to you? Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Now, wait a minute. You that are watching me at home, I've got two powerful things coming up in just a minute, so stay right there. You've got to hear this. Watch carefully. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in gift, which was the offering. But watch what he said. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. This is interesting. In the New Testament, when it talks about the sacrifice that Christ made for us through his death, it is a sweet sacrifice. However, Paul then says, that when you gave me an offering to help evangelize the world, it was to God a sweet sacrifice. Now we're talking about a church simply gave the man money. And he turns around and says, let me tell you how God sees the money. He sees it equal to the actual sacrifice that his son made on the cross. Oh, now, Brother Stone, I don't believe that. Let me explain to you why. Because without the...
Now, wait a minute. Did you all hear that? Because I'm going to play it again just in case you didn't catch it. Perry Stone says that when you give him money to preach the gospel, you give money to an evangelist, that God looks at it the same way he looked at Jesus' death on the cross when Jesus shed his blood. That's what he's saying. Yeah. That's what he's saying. We'll play it again.
Don't miss this. Your financial giving is considered an offering similar to the blood sacrifice placed on the altar in the Old Testament. Can I prove it to you? Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Now, wait a minute. You that are watching me at home, I've got something. I've got two powerful things coming up in just a minute, so stay right there. You've got to hear this. Watch carefully. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. But listen to this verse, Philippians 4:18. Now, how many of you know that Paul in Philippians is talking about receiving a gift, which was the offering? But watch what he says. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. This is interesting. In the New Testament, when it talks about the sacrifice that Christ made for us through his death, it is a sweet sacrifice. However, Paul then says, that when you gave me an offering to help evangelize the world, it was to God a sweet sacrifice. Now we're talking about a church simply gave the man money. And he turns around and says, let me tell you how God sees the money. He sees it equal to the actual sacrifice that his son made on the cross. Oh, now, Brother Stone, I don't believe that. Let me explain to you why. Because without the gift being sent to Paul to evangelize Asia, people would have died lost.
Now, that is one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard, that when God looks at money, he looks at, he says, oh, wow, I'm looking at that like the sacrifice my son made. That is really stupid. And he says that because, oh, Paul wouldn't have been able to evangelize. I have news for you, Perry. Paul had a mouth, okay? Paul was also a tent maker, so even if people didn't send Paul money, he was still going to preach the gospel, because anybody could open their mouth. It doesn't cost me one penny to open my mouth and preach the gospel. I can go anywhere or stand on any street corner or talk to any stranger. I don't need any money. I don't need anybody to slam a $50 bill in my hand to go preach the gospel, as long as I have a mouth. So it wasn't going to hinder Paul whether or not they sent him money or not. He wasn't going to stop preaching. He was going to still preach. So, yeah, if you're attending church and they have a building and sure they need to help pay their bills, and I believe pastors should get a salary if people are working in the ministry. I have nothing against people that are actually working in the ministry getting a salary. No, I'm not against that. And if people work, they should be paid. So I'm not against people taking up offerings or any of that. But that certainly wasn't going to hinder Paul or stop Paul, whether or not people gave offerings to him. He was going to do whatever he needed to do to preach the gospel. So, Perry, honestly, it's too much pimping. Too much pimping has made thee mad, really. So, there you go. That's Perry Stone in his own words. And I didn't make it up. I didn't read you quotes. I played for you Perry's own words, and he's damned by his own words. So I'm going to finish here with Perry doing some fundraising.
See where we're going to go today.
Well, it's great. Always great to be with you, Perry, with all your great partners and friends. And well, here's what I see when it comes to prospering in the day we live in today. I think God has given us more light all the time on this subject. You know, in Malachi 3, God says he will open the windows of heaven up,
right,
and pour out a blessing. Now, I believe, Perry, that every one of us were made in the image and the likeness of God.
Right.
Every man and every woman has some little element of God in them. I call it the God DNA.
Yeah.
That makes you like God, makes you like him. And when faith comes in there, when the word first time hits that, well, faith comes alive. And that's because of that spirit, that spiritual DNA that's in you. If I took and I held a picture up here today, you know, we have a great orphanage down in Guatemala,
right?
It's about $30,000 a month, you know, that we help raise and put into the orphanage there. Because we have about 100 children we adopt in. We don't adopt them out, we adopt them in. And it's a great place. We just got a great team back from there. But I could hold a picture of those little babies up. And they're just emaciated. It's just terrible, some of them, when we first get them.
Yeah.
And people's heart is just crushed by that.
Yes.
By the same, because you've got in you an element of DNA that's from God that cares.
Mm.
Now, if I was a lion, or if I was a hyena, and they saw a little emaciated baby, they'd go kill it just like that.
Mm.
But you're made in the image and the likeness of God.
You'll
do anything you can do to take care of it.
That's good.
By the same token, I could hold up a picture of a little bitty kittens. You're like a bunch of little kittens in a wicker basket just tumbling around.
Oh, dear. Anyway, I've got some audio here, too, of Perry with Cirillo. Now, you can see Perry a lot of times on these, and they call it camp meeting, but it's not a camp meeting. All it is a pimping session that the Cirillos have, especially the son, David. He's got this network, and he calls them camp meetings, but all they are fundraising programs for him to raise funds for his so-called ministry, which it's not. But anyway, here's Perry and Cirillo.
You understand, if I tell people what's going to happen, they're going to anticipate, get ready, I'm going to fall, get ready, you better catch me, I'm going to fall, no, I'm going to tell you, glory to God, you've got to understand that once they had experienced the same Holy Spirit that's found in Acts 2, 1 through 4, guess what happened? They don't know nothing, they don't even have a Bible, but when the Spirit of God shows up, they react the same way your mama reacted in that tent revival in 1948.
help them. They have their books. And you sit in schools. And you learn over and over about the book. Now, to some places of the world, you are born into that religion. I know in Egypt years ago, when I toured Egypt, I had some really very friendly young men that were waiting on our table. And I said, are you Muslim? They said, no, we're Christians. I said, where do you go to church? They said, we don't. And I said, well, you don't go to church, but you're a Christian. And I found out that in Egypt, that if you don't go to the mosque, then they automatically assume you must be a Christian. Does that make sense? And so I realized that cultures look at things differently. But here's the real point. All religions of the world have their books and their teachings, and they share them with their people, and eventually you become what that book says. Let's consider real Christianity for a moment. A 60-year-old man who's never heard the gospel in his life, never heard or watched Christian television. You say there's nobody like that. You'd be surprised, folks. He's suddenly invited to a church service because he found out he was dying with cancer, and somebody said, please come to our church. There's hope there. There's life there. People will love you. He only came because of that. So a 60-year-old man walks into a church where he's never been, sits in a seat where he's never sat, among a bunch of people he does not know. Here's a preacher preach that he's never seen, a message that he's never heard, for 59 minutes. And on minute number 60, the preacher that he's never seen, preaching a message that that man has never heard, gives an altar call asking those who wish to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and Christ in their heart to come to the altar. And that man stands to his feet for the first time and walks down the aisle he's never walked to an altar where he's never been to meet a God he never knew. And he prays a 6-minute prayer. So a 60-year-old man hears a 60-minute message and prays a 6-minute prayer and walks away changed. So what's the proof that it's real? Hey, folks at home, how do we really know Christianity is real? How do we know it's not just all a show? Here it is. One word. Change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yeah, we know that, right? He says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We're supposed to change. We know, yeah, we're supposed to change, right? And all of us that have been born again, we know we're changed. We know that we don't act like we did before. We don't do the things we did before. We have the Holy Ghost conviction of what is right and what is wrong. So I want to ask Perry Stone today. Perry, are you saved, Perry? Because you hang around with people like Morris Cirillo and Mike Murdoch and the chief scam artists, if there ever was scam artists. You hang around with these people. And then you go on these telethons and you promise people the world if they send these people money. And then you even have the nerve to equate money to the atonement. That it means when people give money to evangelists, it means as much to God as the sacrifice of his son on the cross. That you even say something as silly as that, as ridiculous as that. And you report on false prophets, but you won't tell people their names because, oh, we're not supposed to do that. Perry, I want to know, Perry Stone, are you born again? Because when people are born again, there's supposed to be fruit in their life that eventually we grow up and we can take the meat of the Word of God. And we don't do childish things anymore because some of the things you do are very childish, immature. It shows that you really didn't spend a lot of time reading the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and learning what the Bible says, that you could make such ridiculous statements, even in Galatians 2:11, It says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul is saying, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. He told him off to his face. And he's talking about the great apostle Peter here. But yet, Perry, you can't call Brian Karn by name. No, you're still hoping that he can make a comeback and go back to scamming people on a large scale, which that's not going to happen. He may come back on a small scale, but as far as the so-called ministry that he had before, that's over, because most of these guys, they're not going to touch him anymore. They don't want to be associated with someone that's actually, nobody had to expose Brian Karn. He exposed himself. A lot of these people do a very good job, like I was telling you about the one of the pastors there in Dallas, Texas, that he goes from preaching in the pulpit, and right after he's finished with the service, he runs up to his office, and he's married, and he's talking pornographic to his girlfriend. Nobody had to expose him. He left his phone on, and he was recording himself on Periscope, and it was going out live. So God has ways of exposing people. And when he's ready to judge these people and expose them, he does it even without our help. They do it to themselves. They do it to themselves. So anyway, we're going to watch more and more of these people expose themselves, and we need to steer clear of these people and their false teachings. And most importantly, get into the Word of God ourselves and find out what thus saith the Lord. You don't need a word from a prophet. You have your Bible, and because most of these so-called prophets, they're scam artists anyway. So if you need a word, go to the Word of God. You can rest assured that God can speak to you directly. You don't need anybody else to tell you what thus saith the Lord, because God can talk to you, and everything we need to know is in His Word. So let's not be deceived, and let's not go out seeking words and all that, because you might go seeking in the wrong place, and some familiar spirit might give you a word, and you'll be sorry, you know, you'll be sorry for that for sure. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening today, and don't forget to come back next week to the prophetic news. Don't forget to repent of your sins today and give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. The most important thing. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.